Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
And you are all very welcome back. 51551 is the text. Oliver at RTE.ie. You know what to do by now. A comedian, podcaster, runner, kidney donor, writer, Jarlath Regan. Welcome to studio,
Oliver,
sir.
It's so great to be here. And it's so great to hear you referring to the Three Arena as the Point Depot.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, that's old age at this stage.
Rebranding. I was like, yeah, you just won't let the branding in.
And you're at the Olympia Theatre, and it's not called anything else.
It's the Olympia Theatre at the end of the month. Yeah, good. Get the plug in early.
The
I like
Olympia,
it.
Yes. The Olympia. Olympia Theatre, thank you. That's in May. Come here. Jarlath is our visiting critic, which is our non-traditional, non-professional critic who goes outside their comfort zones. All comedians are dorks. I would have thought science fiction, like, come on, would be a forte.
Wouldn't you? Yeah.
They're almost hovering, trying not to reference it too many times.
I think that there's quite a lot of people in Ireland who were raised in homes where science fiction was looked at with raised eyebrows. What's this all about? Is this a true story, is it? That's what my father used to say when something science fiction came on. Is this a documentary? Set in space. And I'd be like, yeah, it happened last week, but we weren't really allowed watch it, right? For that reason, it was considered American nonsense. So it never became a thing. I was not into Doctor Who, Star Wars, no. Star Trek, all passed me
entirely
by.
Entirely gone.
All of it.
Was there an aggression in the house towards us? Would it be a flick off?
Just a general apathy. I mean, they were into sport. We watched sport. Whatever sporting event. We ran the year around the calendar. Roland Garros, Wimbledon, FA Cup, and of course the horse racing. And that's fine. I loved it. And I love sport. But I guess there's only so much room.
Even the sports that seem to have been fragmented off, like we used to always watch, like darts, snooker, show jumping.
Yeah.
It was just all happening, wasn't it?
I guess it was vintage. We did look, RTE Sports had a lot to answer for. I mean, it was like Sports Stadium and the amount of coverage they gave to every type. There was Trans World Sport was the thing they had on. Yeah. So you got to see all these weird sports from around the world. So I guess my father was a sportsman himself. So I guess when you're in that results based thing, if science fiction doesn't enter your life early, it can just be a thing you don't get. And that was my way.
So did you sort of, because other kids, I presume, were talking about Star Wars and stuff.
Yeah, I think I even had an R2-D2 that somebody gave to me and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what this referred to.
It was like when we used to have, we had like the Simpsons Sing the Blues CD, having never seen the Simpsons.
You never watched the Simpsons?
Because it was on Sky, like we couldn't see it.
Oh my God, Oliver.
Into the 90s.
Now there are science fiction people listening to this now going, oh my God, guy didn't watch Star Wars till he was 20. You didn't watch the Simpsons?
I was in the cinema till I was 12. My first trip to the cinema. What was the film? Actually, Into the West was the first thing I saw in the cinema. Because it was an altar boy and there was a bus trip and they brought us to the cinema in Dundalk, which when you look at it was only 10 clicks away.
Forget the plan to talk about science fiction, Oliver. We need to talk about this.
I know. I need to lie down.
You didn't know cinemas existed until you were 12.
I knew it was just we weren't allowed to go there. It was like Florida. I know it exists.
Smoke.
No hope of ever attending. And then sure, I haven't stopped since.
Yeah, look, that's the thing.
So you never went to see Star Wars?
Never. Didn't watch it till college.
You were literally in college?
I was in college and I was living with a guy from Cork and he was as shocked as anyone. His jaw's on the floor. And he was like, well, we're going to rectify this.
So there was a DVD producer?
Yeah, there was a lot. There was like, I was kind of forced to sit through a few things and it just... I think one of the things that troubled me straight away with it was how matter of fact they were about how odd everything was. Like you arrive on a planet with people with large heads. Nobody ever calls back to base. We've arrived to discuss matters with the consulate. You should see the size of these guys' heads. They never
do. They're all speaking English.
Yeah. And remarkably, they speak the Queen's English. I mean, I guess it just was off the frequency. And I went through my 20s.
So you just said, that's not for me, thank you. Yeah, my family just gave me sport.
And even like Tolkien and Lord of the Rings, the Mordor and all that stuff. It's just like, I was into factual-based things and just couldn't see the attraction. And that's why I'm here today, to talk about the movie that changed all.
Yes, indeed. So we said, what is your comfort zone? You explained all of this to us. And we said, well, we have to get you back into Star Wars, see how it feels.
Yeah.
What did you watch?
Rogue One, Star Wars story.
Good choice.
It's a 2016 movie that isn't in the, you know, the trilogies.
Yes, and it's a standalone film, so you can go into it, but it features Darth Vader, as you can imagine now.
It's a prequel. Right, so everybody will know the death. Like, even people who aren't into Star Wars, this is the perfect movie, right? Because you'll know the Death Star is a big yoke that can blow up.
It's like
up
a moon
planets.
It's shaped spaceship hanging
it's
up there.
A spaceship. It, massive.
It destroys size. Planets. Yes. Darth Vader used to use it with a big laser.
And Luke Skywalker fired one perfect shot to blow the whole thing up. Now, everybody knows that.
It's been copied in so many movies ever since.
Yeah,
it's an enormously complicated security system. It's got one tiny flaw.
One chink in the armor. But it does raise that question, like, why is there the chink? Like, I was like, who didn't cover over that little spot with a bit of plywood to stop that from happening?
Is that what Rogue One is about?
Rogue One is all my dreams come true that way, because it's the architect, the fella that designed the thing. I'm like, who designed this yoke? Like, Darth Vader's not an architect. This movie is about how this was designed by a lad who realised this is only going to bring misery. I'm out of here. So it's like a Dermot Bannon show in many ways.
Right.
The architect has absconded and said, I'm not finishing the project. This house is a disaster. This is literally the beginning of the movie. He is on another planet in hiding with his wife and his child. And he's saying, I'm not doing another tap of work on that Death Star house. It is only going to bring you way over budget as it is. They arrive on the planet. And this is the other thing. It does not look like a Star Wars movie. They arrive on this planet and it just looks like real. It looks real. It looks like they're flying into this with the spaceship and they're living in seclusion, and he basically kills the wife and says to him, you're coming back here to build this house whether
Darth
you like
Vader
it or not.
Collects Dermot Bannon.
It's not Darth Vader, it's another fella, General Krennic, I believe his name is.
Oh, right.
Shows up and says, you're coming back. I'm bringing the whole family
whether
you like
it
or not.
I've seen this in the cinema and I'm already forgetting.
Yeah, but so the kid goes running for the hills. There's a plan already to have the kid hide in the hills. He's no option but to go back. Long and short of it is, he goes back to build this yoke and he builds it with one chink in the armour.
Oh, so Dermot Bannon says, look, I'm going to kind of finish
I'll
it off.
I'll finish it. Yeah. But I'm going to leave one weakness in it. And this whole thing of Star
Wars...
That
explains the 1977 film.
Yes, exactly. So the plans, they need to get the plans for the Death Star so they can identify where the spot is. But like, you're like, who? Where did those plans come from? This is the story of how they got the plans, how the girl that went into hiding is a grown woman now, and she's a brilliant rebel in the Alliance. I can't tell you, Oliver, how little time I had for Star Wars until I watched this movie. Suddenly, it's real. It's more like a Saving Private Ryan Vietnam style heist movie to get to that planet where these files are being held.
To discover what the flaw is.
To get the plans.
So Dermot Bannon is gone
them.
At this stage.
It's already Dermot's father, unfortunately, he comes to a bad end in it, but the daughter and himself I'm going to ruin the whole thing here. The daughter and himself do get reunited.
Ruining anything because it's a fantastic ending to this film. Oh, most unexpected.
It is. You will never see the ending coming. That's true.
No, you won't. And come here, there's a producer somewhere in RT going, oh, Dermot Bannon does have children. This could be this could run and run.
This could do this, yeah.
Someone's already texting in saying, hello, I told my son recently I hadn't watched any of the Star Wars films. He said, I hope you haven't told anyone this. Michael and Boyle.
Yeah, don't.
Charlotte, you are a father.
I have a son, he's 13 years old, and he got into Star Wars Lego.
That was the entry. Yeah.
So that was the entry level for him. And I think it was my cousin Morris who I have to blame for that, because that...
I just saw your facial expression there going, I have to blame that's a cousin.
He's the one who said, if he doesn't like Star Wars, he'll love Star Wars Lego. And like, that is hilarious cartoon.
The Regan family dynasty.
He adored that straight away. And, you know, it was the whole time. Like, with your kids, you are a lot of the time going, yeah, this is a wonderful movie. You spend a lot of your life going, yeah, let's watch it again.
You pretended to and watch
it. Yeah, so I was enduring these movies.
What age? It's young Mikey, isn't it?
Young Mikey.
What age was he in?
Yeah, shout out to him. Well, I mean, he was into it from the age... Well, he would have been 5 when this movie came out. So he was on board by the age of 4. And, you know, lightsabers all over the house and, you know, figures everywhere.
This is great. And you resisted this whole
thing. I'm going, like, I'm buying all the figures and going, like, why is it, when is this going to, because you assume this will fade out, right? It's not going anywhere. And I went to see this Rogue One movie in 2016 between shows at Leicester Square. And I was like, literally, there was nothing else on. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to a Star Wars
movie.
So at
least I can chat to my child about it.
Came home raving about it. So if you are not into Star Wars, this is the movie that will turn you.
Unexpectedly, Rogue One. Because
Rogue One, yeah.
15 movies beforehand, there aren't a load afterwards.
It's a standalone adventure that...
And for the Star Wars fanatics, they were just delighted that it was a new thing that had old Darth Vader in it.
It also made sense of things. They used CGI to make other characters who had since passed away, since 77. There are certain people that you're trying to cast your mind back because you wouldn't spot it.
The old general.
100% CGI, you would never pick it.
I think I remember the time going, no, his head looked a bit wobbly now.
Yeah, there's always a movement, isn't there? Right. Your eye has a weird radar for it. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the big lad shows up. Darth Vader, the person my son was obsessed with.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was always like, what's so scary about this lad? Like, what, he can choke people with his hand standing across the room? Like,
that's pretty scary.
This movie shows you what an absolute horrid,
very good,
dangerous individual he was. We never actually get to see him wreck lads, like fully trounce people and smash them around the room.
Family, yeah.
Yeah, we want to see him do a Jackie Chan kind of force version of that.
Without even hardly moving from the spot.
With barely any
class.
Effort. And that scene, as a little bit of trivia, was only tagged on to this movie.
They wanted
a happy ending. The director said, I assume Disney, you're going to want a happy ending. And Disney came back and said, no, we want something more tragic. And also, he said, can you stick a little more Darth Vader in there? And he wrote a scene, like, if there's one reason to watch this, it's to see Darth Vader flex his muscles.
Heads are cracked.
It's like a minute-long chaos.
Minute-long Ulster final with Darth Vader.
Yeah, you know that clip of Mayo and Kerry shouldering each other at the start before the throw-in. It's that crunch. Times a million. Yeah, amazing.
Fantastic. So this is a rave review for Star Wars. Now
it is.
Are you going to watch any more? Are you going to enter? Because there's quite a lot.
Yeah, like I'm definitely was on board from that point forward. And we did enjoy the new movies. But Mikey is a big lad now. He's moved on to bigger things.
Oh, has he?
You know, he still has a Lego Death Star in his bedroom, which he's very proud of. Mm-hmm. Biggest build he's ever done.
We know from friends of ours, you can keep that going to middle age.
It's a biggie.
They shouldn't, but they can.
It's an obsession. But it's still there for him. And it's still something like, I had people message me about this when I mentioned that I was going to be talking about Rogue One. Grandparents saying that they went to see the original Star Wars in 77.
Interesting.
And now they're teenage grandchildren, they're enjoying it all again. So it does span the generations. I would have to say that the most recent series that they've put out on Disney are probably the best things.
You think the series they've done?
Yeah.
Which one?
Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian is for that. Well, it is a Western, isn't it?
It is.
It's just a Western.
You know, like another way of looping people in.
Have you watched Andor? That's very good.
Not yet.
Yeah,
now, that'll tell you.
Heists and thrillers in it. Yeah, right. That's very good. A political kind of...
So you've watched that?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Right.
And it's connected somewhat to Rogue One.
Okay. You've got me.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
But which is slightly annoying because you're going to go, hang on, no, that was the standalone. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
No, this was a series. There was a kind of poor enough series, I would have thought. Boba Fett wasn't very well.
That definitely did not go down well, didn't receive good reviews. But this Andor thing, I find the 13, I don't know about you, is a real transition age for a lot of people. A lot of people can remember their 13th year in their life.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, my son's definitely moved away from Star Wars and I have held the candle.
He's now an architect.
Yes, he's now into it. He actually does love Room to Improve. Ugly House to Lovely House is his favourite TV show.
Oh, God. There is a third person in this family.
There is.
How does she fit into the Star Wars universe?
Tina, my wife, is...
Who's here. She's looking at us behind the glass.
Looking through the glass there. Honestly, she's the one going, Jar, you cannot complain about his obsession with Star Wars when every time you go on the road to do a show, you arrive back with more Star Wars Lego. You're like, why is he so into this? Because you keep buying it for him. Look, she definitely was into it before me. She knew more about it than I did and kind of couldn't understand because I think there was a higher tolerance to it in her house. Her father, Mick Rowland, give him a shout out, 74th birthday today. This may be the last broadcast I do now that I've revealed that. he didn't seem to be that big on it, but she definitely is a fan. And this is the other thing about Rogue One. It's quite like Alien in that there's a strong female lead in this who kind of puts the Rey character in The Force Awakens to shame. She plays this role of somebody who's orphaned early in life and neglected to come back and be this hero at the end of this movie. That, like, it's a movie about hope. That's the other thing. It's a movie about rebels, hope against hope in a war that doesn't look winnable. So if ever there's a movie for today, this is it.
And crucially, she doesn't study architecture. Kids, you don't always need the Leaving Cert.
She's lived in a cave for a lot of her life.
Someone says, true story, we were always a Star Wars family. This is a text. And I introduced the kids to it from early days while visiting my grandmother, who's now passed away over 15 years ago. My youngest, who was then 6 years old, spotted a framed photo of Padre Pio in her hallway. You can see where this is going. Jack pulled my arm and said, Dad, why does Granny have a picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi in her hallway?
Amazing. And definitely not the only person who thought that.
That is,
I remember seeing
Pio
the robes. I think that's such a cool Jedi robe.
Oh my God.
Right.
And you can get a piece of the robe inside a little laminated card because Obi-Wan Kenobi had stigmata.
Oh God.
We'd like to apologise in advance of that official complaint. That's from Shane Fennessy. Thanks a million for that.
If you're nearly apologising as you say things.
Welcome to the State Broadcaster. What are you up to? By the way, you're the original gangster podcaster, aren't you? Because you, the Irishman Abroad, that must be one of the oldest podcasts in existence.
I think it was one of the first Irish ones, yes. Yeah. Irishman Abroad started in 2013. And
really?
Wow. Yeah, and I really was trying to make sense of life abroad through the help of the people in my phone book. So, you know, it started with the likes of Dylan Moran, Jason Byrne, Des Bishop, and it extended out to Gabriel Byrne, Sir Rob Geldof, Mary Robinson, Sharon Horgan, and it just kind of grew a life of its own. And since coming back, we've obviously spun it out into three spin-off
podcasts. You have the running one, obviously,
with Sonia O'Sullivan,
Sonia, and
the American one, Irishman in America, Marion McKeown, making sense of America every Friday. And my wife, we do a parenting podcast called Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid.
And do they all go concurrently, or how do you?
At one point, I was putting out 3 to 4 episodes a week.
That's
and
nuts.
Yeah, and trying to tour as well. So that was really burning the candle at both ends. Now it's 2 episodes a week. And I'm really delighted to say that the big interviews will be coming back soon. I can't talk about that just yet.
Very good.
But there'll be a big development there shortly.
But what I like is that you are an original podcaster because you're in the comedy circuit, but your kind of fame came from the podcast in many ways, didn't it?
I don't know about the word fame, Oliver. People knew me.
The branding.
That's how people knew me.
People knew me. Whereas, you know, now podcasts are such a saturated market. It's like people we know from mainstream media anyway, now doing interviews with the same people they've already interviewed.
You know what's happened to me in the last 12 months?
Rubbish, isn't there?
Well, I don't want to say that. There's podcasts for everybody, right? There really is. Like, literally, you can put into that podcast search engine whatever you're into. If you're into Rogue One, there is probably a Rogue One podcast that will deep dive into how this thing was made. I just find it so strange now to meet people at shows because, like, I'm touring the Your Man stand-up show that you mentioned at the start everywhere from Boston, Chicago and New York to London. And people that come to these shows don't know about the podcast.
Oh, is that right?
So they're into the stand-up.
So they're catching you where?
So I come meet them afterwards and I go, you should listen to the podcast if you like the show. And they're like, you have a podcast? Like, that's fine because we'll get the
they're
two
getting the
to
tips
come
on
together.
TikTok, Instagram
and that. Yeah, like it is amazing.
Because you're quietly one of the biggest, not an influencer, I suppose you call yourself, but quietly one of the biggest Instagram. You've about a quarter of a million people
on
Instagram.
Yeah, in a very short period of time. It is remarkably
10 years.
The new... Yeah, very short 10 years. Yeah, but like really that's only kind of kicked off in the last year for me. Yeah. And it was just posting the jokes. Like not much has changed. I'm still doing the same jokes, just people, we got eyeballs on it.
With a warning about jokes when you're doing it.
Oh, there is a warning in there about modern comedy needing to let people know that they're coming to hear jokes. This is a safe space. Like that's what I say to people when they come to the show. It's like, just I want you to come and laugh like a drain for 90 minutes really forget everything. A full distraction in a safe place where we know I'm joking and I'm not going to be saying anything that is going to make you go, oh, I don't know.
The kind of peak progressive fear of jokes, it feels like it's past now. It was sort of 2015, 2017.
Look, was it a bad thing or was it a good thing? I don't know, because really I think it was a more of a sensitivity to the impact.
Yeah.
Potentially,
yes.
Of jokes and how they cultivate an atmosphere. Like we all know people right now who are still saying jokes to us that we're like, that's not funny. That's not, you shouldn't be joking about that in this context.
But the market has decided they're fine.
Yeah. I kind of think that kind of peak period of cancellation of people for things, there were probably some stuff that shouldn't have been out there, let's be honest. So like there were certain British comedians that were selling themselves as offensive comics.
I suppose what the correction has done is that it's brought us female comedians surging into the marketplace and women going to comedy to watch whatever they want. That feels like the biggest change, isn't it?
I actually think that the surge of female comedians, if you could call it that, is down to people actually opening their eyes. Because... I've loved female comics all my comedy career, all the time that
some
I've loved comedy.
Some of my best friends.
Yes, but like it's like the industry didn't know they existed. That the broadcasters and similarly, Instagram let people see what they liked. They will feed you what you like.
Listen, we might end up talking about the work too much.
Yeah.
Tell us about the things you need to plug because you are touring nonstop all the time in between the podcasts. So many things. What do you want to plug? Because you've got so many things.
I am. I guess I'll be in the INEC Arena in Killarney on July 5th.
Very good. Down there in the Glen Eagles, July 5th. Yeah, you can book yourself a weekend. Waterford Theatre Royal. That's a lovely theatre.
Yeah. 22nd of June there.
Midsummer. Armagh Marketplace Theatre.
Oh, that's a wonderful theatre.
Oh, that's this month, 25th of May.
25th of May.
And the Olympia Theatre on the 30th of May. That's what it's called. Yeah. Jigsaw.com/gigs for all of Jarlath Regan's dates.
Yes, thank you
so much. Loads of dates there, is it? Thank you so much. May the force be with you at Mass when the priest would say, peace be with you, say, may the force be with you, says Paul Little in Wexford. So go with that message,
and also
Jarlath
with
Regan.
You, Paul.
Okay. Thanks, Melinda. 51551 is the text.
Oliver at rte.ie.